All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects, and the week of Thanksgiving is here, and believe it or not, so are we. All of us present and accounted for, pleasantly surprised to have the trio back in order. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's myself, and hopefully you guys for the next 3 hours. We take you on the suspects all the way till 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. Fellas,
what's up?
What it do? What's going on,
good,
people?
Man. Oh, man, so glad to be back.
Good to have the peeps back. I can tell you that
Your tweet.
Yeah.
I was moved. I was touched by it. I was like, Joel's drunk.
No, I really wasn't. And it was a combination of things. Look, I enjoy the challenge of working with other people and people that are friends of ours. But everybody has their own style.
Mm-hmm.
And we just get you get into such a comfort zone with this show, with us, that it's different when y'all aren't here. And then like one day it's different than the next because Raheel is very much obviously open to anything, and he can actually be the one like Barry or you, Nick, where just, hey, I was thinking about, did you see this? And then Josh is more kind of nuts and bolts into
structure
and sports, and let's get into this and
that.
Was
it a very sportsy show with Josh?
Friday was very sportsy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And Raheel was on Thursday.
But we were filling in for the Blitz. So, of course, 9 out of 10 were very pleased. And then you had the blitzer that wanted to be a complete a-hole, that wanted to just take personal shots all show.
Well, that's just the blitzers. That's just what they do.
Yep.
That's...
So we blocked a few. But other than that, I mean, like I said, when I was sitting. And then the other part of it was we figured Taylor was old enough now to end with grandma in town that it was time for her to get into going to some Sunday school. So Lisa did some research online and found a really good Sunday school program. Well, that's the weird thing.
Okay.
So then between
Why is
grandma,
that the
well,
weird
because,
thing?
Well, let me explain to you. So between grandma and Lisa, they start telling her that she's going to go to Sunday school to learn about Jesus. Well, then she gets in the car with me and goes, Daddy, Sunday I'm going to meet Jesus. And I go, Jesus, I hope not. No, you're not.
No,
you're
no.
going to learn about Jesus. And she's like, So we go to this church,
kids
and I'm going to go meet Jesus. I'm like, no, please
baby.
Don't say that. That
You're
creeps
not...
me out. Yeah, so finally,
going to meet
she went
Jesus.
To Sunday school, and she's like, now we meet Jesus? I'm like, no, you have fun. You learn about the Bible.
I mean, there might be a kid in your class named Jesus, but that's not the same thing, sweetie. That's not the same thing at all.
Yeah, and then the other thing that was...
Don't call him Jesus, by the way.
So, and the other thing that's... Lisa and I were talking about it because it ends up Lisa walks in and one of her coworkers is there with her husband and she's like wearing glasses. So then she's all upset that she's not dressed up, you know, like all to the nines. I'm like, relax. So we find out that, and a lot of churches do these days where their main big church is used for only certain services. And then others in between are like for the people that don't want to dress up, for the people that want more music.
Right. The sinners.
I'm going to tell you something, fellas. So we get the in-between class because that's when Taylor had Sunday school.
Strippers.
We're in a side chapel.
That'd be great.
I thought something was weird because there's a guy and a girl, probably mid-20s, standing up. My man's got a guitar in his hand.
Oh, boy.
But he's got a tambourine strapped to the front of his foot.
What?
And he's got his heel on the pedal of a bass drum. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I've heard stories about one-man bands and all this stuff. This dude was talented just to be able to pull off
That's
the rhythm
crazy.
Of the bass with a guitar going on, with an occasional I need some tambourine here. But I was like, oh, wow. And then instead of a podium or anything because we're in the side church, my man pulls out one of those metal music stands from when you were in high school and, you know, the band people used to use it with the black ones with the tilted... Tilts it down, slaps down some handwritten notes, and I swear to God, it looked like Bob Slovak's dad from ABC 13. He comes out in a suit, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is different.
This is going to happen.
Yeah. So we got through that. But then when I got out, I was like, the message was pretty good about during Thanksgiving week, you need to be thankful, but you also need to make sure you give and give back and express. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'm going to say it. I miss the guys. I'm looking forward to Monday. Get the show back the way it normally is, and we'll have some fun.
Oh, so look at that. Yeah.
So I think I hashtagged it something like, there, I went to church today or something.
I saw that. I went to church today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I was looking forward to get back, too, because I was actually thinking about extending my flight back, and I'm so glad I didn't because it gave me the opportunity to sleep because I literally landed and just left. So I was looking forward to get back. I didn't.
What was her name that you wanted to extend the flight?
Huh. No, I didn't want to extend it for those reasons.
When did you get back?
Basically when the Rockets game started yesterday, about 2:45.
No one knows the way they played. With football on, no one paid attention to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Rockets played yesterday?
Yeah,
really?
2:30 game, no one knew.
Go figure.
The Rockets didn't know.
Yeah.
They got their ass handed to them.
Boy.
They did. And there was a lot of NFL storylines, too.
So. Right.
Yeah, where'd that defense go that they were playing so good?
Where'd it go?
Yeah.
Has it been there?
Yeah. They did a nice little run. I got some interesting stats on the Rockets that I was like,
Bet you do.
That's, you know me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got home pretty late last night myself, but I was glad to be back. I was like, man, I was ready to get off the road. I was ready to get back here, do some radio.
How long was the drive?
It's about 6.5 hours. I had to take the headliner back to his house because he had rode up. So it was weird. The guy that I was supposed to work with, his name is Michael Malone. He got food poisoning, which in our business means I got a better gig. And I got a gig that pays more money, so I'm not doing your gig, right? But I don't know. I messaged him. I was like, hey, I hope you feel better because I hope that's not the case. I hope, you know, I mean, I'm not hoping he's sick. I hope he didn't just diss the club to diss the club. And he's not that kind of guy. So, but then they got a guy named Ben Creed. I had worked with Ben in Tulsa. So they're like, and then they were like, but you got to close the show Friday. I was like, well, guys, you could have just used me all weekend. I could have headlined. They were like, well, we'll see. Well, you know, whatever. They had already got him. So, but he lives in Fort Worth, and the guys that brought him in were in Denver. They were headed to Denver, so they dropped him off and got snowed in. So I was like, whatever, I'll take you. It's not that far out of the way. But long story short, it took me about 6 and 7 hours to get home because we stopped and ate and stuff. But, man, I'm starting to realize the older I get and with my back just now getting better, it was tough.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, man, I can't just – like, you think driving is just sitting there, but it's really not. It actually is The sitting is what's the problem. Like I figured out I need to stop every couple hours.
You got
to
get the blood flowing.
And do some jumping jacks or something.
Your watch should have told you that.
Yeah.
I forgot that you had that back issue going into. Because you were starting to get better. It just wasn't all there by the time Friday came around.
So the driving sucked. But otherwise, man, it's a good week. How was Vegas?
We need all that.
It was fun. The only thing that bothered me, it was obviously a fun trip. Not here to complain. The only thing that bothered me is me. Because like I was saying this on the Charlie Polillo show filling in that I made a valiant effort to do everything I can to keep myself hydrated. I mean, right when I landed, I go to my Coca-Cola store, which is the only place I can get those water bottles for $1 because it's $6.75 everywhere else you go on the strip.
Uh-huh.
And I buy 10 or 15 of these bottles. I go through them. I buy another like 5 or 6 more, and I still feel dehydrated. It's just that's the only thing. And it could be
light, bro.
Maybe. I mean, it could be just a situation where, you know, it's just Vegas. Dell said because there's no humidity. But, I mean, it's just...
What do you mean you feel dehydrated?
Like, my lips are chapped. I just...
Well, that just, is Vegas. That part of it is Vegas.
But it wasn't like that. Like, I made a big... Most trips, man, I don't care. I'll just, like, I'll deal with the hangover each morning, eat something greasy, and drink a lot of water in the morning. This time, I'm drinking water as I'm drinking, and it just doesn't help. It just...
Really?
Annoyed me so much. But other than that, it was great.
Did you get into any poker tournaments and knock Fred and AJ out again or anything?
First time I didn't do any poker. I played more blackjack than anything else.
Yeah?
I missed
you
the...
win?
No.
Did you make any
I was
money?
Down about $400 for the
oof.
Win.
Oof.
Yeah. I took a hit. Not as bad as the other guys, but yeah, I took a hit.
Well, Fred started out, I heard him on the air say about he lost in the first one, but then he got two more and got a lot of it back, and then some of his sports bets got more of it back, but that was before Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, it was just, yeah. I mean, blackjack was fun for a little while, and then you start losing too much, and you're like, you know what? It's probably time for me to call it quits. I never go in there losing more than I expect, though, so I'm usually pretty good. But
Freddie Roach picture was cool.
That was cool. He's always like the nicest guy. I rarely take pictures with him, but he's always like the nicest guy. Talks about anything. Just an unbelievable attitude, all things considered.
Parkinson's, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Is that worse or?
I don't think it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away,
but is it getting worse? Because I know when he first got it, he was very he was open about it.
I mean, since I've been doing these gigs, he's been about the same. He may have been getting worse, and I just didn't notice it. I would imagine he has the best medical attention that money can buy.
For sure.
Obviously, Michael J. Fox has done, I guess, okay with it. I don't know what they go through, but yeah, he's definitely feeling that for sure.
So that was cool. I saw the picture. And boy, what a punch. I mean, I hate to say this, but AJ was dead spot on. AJ had been saying and tweeting leading into the fight and around the fight, look, this isn't going to be about Wilder trying to be smart and having a plan. He's just going to look for that one opportunity to drop that one, you know, massive punch, right hand, and he did.
He's got some heavy, heavy hands.
Did just the sweat and everything that bounced off the back of his head when he landed it, I was like, oh, my God, that punch was coming.
Yeah.
Because he was losing that fight, without a doubt. He was losing that fight. The first half of that fight, there was no indication. I don't see how anybody could have scored the fight for Wilder. I didn't even look at the scorecards. But for him to finally get that that punch, it just reminded me of a Brock Lesnar situation. And I said
just head hunting and, yeah.
And the fact that his lack of technique, the fact that he's such an athlete, like a Brock.
Or Derek Lewis.
Or like, exactly, like a Derek Lewis.
He's a Derek Lewis.
They have little to no technique, but everything else they bring to the table supplements for what they lack, and that's exactly what happened. I think it was a bit of a gamble to go in with that approach because I feel like that's what he did. I'm just going to sit this out until he gives me a spot, and I'm just going to knock him out.
Yeah.
Because the whole first half of that fight just went by.
You get to the seventh round, and you haven't gotten that opportunity yet, and he's winning every round. You got to start worrying.
It's risky, man. That's why to Derek's credit, I mean, Derek has technique as a striker. He just doesn't have technique as a wrestler or jiu-jitsu guy or ground guy.
He won't be labeled as a technical fighter.
Yeah. Right, but he's. I mean, when they announce him, you know, because they'll usually say what discipline, he announces himself as a brawler. And that's, but you're right, though. That's kind of what Wilder is, which is, in the fight game, man, it's a scary proposition. That if you're just going to wait for that one punch and you're like, well, I'll fade a bunch of losing rounds to wait on that one punch, man, it'll backfire eventually.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a big dude. He's just a massive, massive big dude. And 6'7", 215 pounds. He's a big dude. And so he's just an athlete. And so he can get away with that. So I enjoyed the fight. It was fun.
Did you cure your glaucoma a lot?
Not a lot. I did make one trip. Actually, one funny story real quick, because I know we have to go to break. I did go to the dispensary to buy one item. And the way it's set up, for those who don't know, you go in. The door that you go in from is not the door that you exit from. And when you exit, that door that shuts behind you doesn't have a door handle because you can't go back in. So right when I go out, I request my Uber to go back to the hotel. And like right when I request it, it's like, he's arrived. I'm like, where is he? Wow. I don't see him. Uber driver came behind the same door, came out of the same door I was in with a bag. I'm like, bro, I've been waiting for you for like 10 minutes. Where were you? He's like, man, I was in the dispensary too.
That's hilarious.
It was the funniest thing ever. And he came out and he was all worried. He's like, Are you Nick? Are you Nick? He started asking random people, are you Nick? I'm like, bro, I'm right here waiting for you.
That's great, dude.
So that was a little funny story about the dispensary, but I didn't spend too much time there.
That's good.
Yeah, I didn't do all that.
Yeah.
Trying to be disciplined. There
you go. Oh, by the way, and I played hoops on Saturday. So the leg held up. Yeah. I could not tell you the anxiety I had going to the gym. Lisa encouraged me to go. Good. And I was like, why? She's like, you've got to get back. And I'm like, all right, so then the whole drive there, I'm just freaking the hell out going, I'm going to get, if it pops or the calf pops or something's not right. And first game, first possession, the guys were testing me, and they're like, I just came off a screen, just kind of slid, and he goes, my buddy Sly just hit me with, he goes, shoot it. And I hit the first three, and I was like, okay. And he goes, it's like riding a bike, bro. You know what you do. And so I hit two threes in the first game, and I'm like, okay, now I'm not going to do too much.
There you go.
But I played like five games, and it didn't hurt, and I wasn't like sucking wind, and I'm like, I'm ready to go back.
Nice.
So yeah, I got off the Schneid. So.
Well, good for you.
Get on the Schneid if you want to join the show. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Lots to talk about and text about if you want to hit us up on the lines. You can do that with that number, and or you can hit us on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We can talk about that Texans big win last week that these guys were out and about for, that we can get their thoughts on. Lots of thoughts about the Rockets, obviously, the NFL and the college football this weekend, and much more. So before you fasten your seatbelts and get ready to go, I do want to tell you that with this week week upon us. There's a lot going on where people are preparing food at home. But also, if you want to get out of the house, you can always go to one of the five locations of Twin Peaks. I tell you to go to Twin Peaks all the time because of the fact that they take care of all the things that you'd have to take care of if you were at home. That means made from scratch appetizers and main courses. 29-degree draft beers. And, of course, the beautiful Twin Peaks girls, as well as every satellite package to every sports package so that you can see soccer on one TV, college basketball on another, maybe college football or the NBA and or any kind of NFL on all the TVs all week long. And that includes Black Friday. They're opening at 10 a.m. extra early if you want to take a break from all the shopping madness or drop the wife off and just go to escape. And boy, can you escape, because the Twin Peaks girls are going to have a costume party. There's going to be sweet deals like $5 mimosas, Bloody Marys, margaritas, and more. Get to Twin Peaks on Friday and throughout your work week, because like I tell you, it's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just the second segment of the show on a holiday week. Should be a lot of fun as the boys are back and we're all talking sports and other things, getting caught up after a long, busy weekend. There was tons of sports to speak of this entire weekend. Lots of stuff going on. Obviously, the Texans won while you guys were out.
Yeah.
And then saw just...
big win for them.
Yep, big win. But it was interesting. And that's why I wanted to get your guys' opinion. Not necessarily on the game itself, okay?
Okay.
Interesting to me, and Nick, you heard about this a little bit when you were filling in with Fred and AJ. The overwhelming theme all day Friday on ESPN 97.5 was disgust, was anger. You'd have thought the Texans got beat by 35 points. They are done with Bill O'Brien. They are tired of being led on because the Ravens game was still salty in their mouth. That this win wasn't enough. That they don't have confidence that this team is good enough to go anywhere once they get in. And literally the entire show Friday was laden, and I'm not kidding, laden with calls, tons of tweets and texts, and everybody was basically crapping on the Texans.
I heard that from Aaron, too.
Because Aaron was involved in our show, and we were just in amaze. I was like, let's start with the positives. Let's talk about Will Fuller. Let's talk about the fact that their secondary held up. Let's talk about all these different things. And people are like, no, let's talk about how Bill O'Brien screwed this entire franchise. No, let's talk about how the fact that we're tired of getting led to believe that this is a championship-caliber team and having a big game, and then the big game is done within the first 5 minutes because they suck. And
what was this specific to something that happened in the game?
I think it was just the overview and tone of the fact that they're not believers anymore, and they're tired of being led, sold this bill of goods by Bill O'Brien, and then by the media that seems to build it up as a team that could be, you know, competing with the Patriots and that level.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the overriding theme of the people that were chiming in with us was, I've done this. This is the last time. I did it again for the Ravens game.
It wasn't
game. I thought they were going to win. They didn't. And then the other thing was how many people tweeted us, and I think a lot of you guys were tagged on this, but how many people showed that in this big game Thursday night at NRG night game, and I kept saying, hey, look, night games are a different animal. The fans show up early. They're loud. They love them. The crowd has been great whenever they get a national TV game. And people were tweeting us and tagging us. It was empty halfway through the first quarter.
Yeah,
the announcers were commenting on, like, there was no volume, there was no energy.
That's normal, though.
That's a Thursday, though. I mean, Thursday, people got to work Friday. Houston's...
Well, that's a weak ass excuse, Barry Laminack.
It is, but that's what else do you want me to say other than the fact that I don't think people are in love with this team like they should be, or people expect them to be, and I'm not sure which is which. But it's a team. They're so average that I think people are apathetic to the Texans. And I think sometimes apathy breeds anger. Because if you're, you know, this is a team that's 7-4. And they almost beat the Saints this year. They'd be 8-3. They you know, the Panthers game was a game that was easily winnable for this team. Away, yeah. This is a team that could be 9-2. They got stomped by the Ravens. But outside of that, you know, they were in the first Colts game that they lost. It wasn't a great game.
Well, you wanted landmarks. You beat the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you beat the Chiefs. You beat
the Chargers.
You beat the Colts now, which, you know, you had a division game. You beat the Chargers. I don't know what the fans want, but they have the third best record and the third seed in the AFC with a few games left. Now, they do have a big test, but watch this, though. Watch them beat the Patriots. It's not going to happen.
No, but that's what I threw it out there.
But watch them beat the Patriots and then go find all the haters. And they won't be around because this town.
I threw it out there Friday. I said, if they beat the Patriots, are you jumping back on?
Are you calling?
And most people kept saying, no, I'm done now. I'm really done.
You're not done.
And here's the crazy thing.
They get to the AFC title game, you're not done, I promise you. You're just a bandwagon fair weather fan.
We had people calling themselves diehard fans saying, but yeah, after that Ravens game, I was out and I couldn't even watch it on Thursday night. I go, you can't call yourself a diehard fan and tell me you didn't even peep it on TV on Thursday night.
This is a team that could go 11-5 easily.
That's crazy.
Because they could lose. They're probably losing to the Patriots, right?
If they you play assume their, that if but they play stranger their, things have happened.
If they play their best football, I think they could beat the Patriots if the Patriots don't play well. I didn't think they played well this week. Obviously, the conditions and everything else, and the Cowboys
they just didn't play a good
laid
team.
An egg. That true. That too. But okay, so they lose to the Patriots. The hate comes back again. Now they're 7-5. But they can beat the Broncos and the Titans twice and the Bucks.
Sure, they can
easily.
Yep.
So I mean, this team could be 11-5 or 10-6, and there's nothing wrong with that. And they could win this division easily. Although they've got a little tougher.
But here's the thing, too, guys. I think that people are finally starting to realize what we pointed out from the jump, which is you better enjoy this run this season and going for it. Because going forward, the cupboard is bare, not only with a lack of draft picks that he traded away to try and build up this roster, but the fact that with impending huge deals coming for Tunsil, who you traded for and did not wisely include an extension in the deal, and for your quarterback, your franchise, who's going to get paid a huge amount of money, the cupboard is bare all over the place. So the future cannot look any brighter, basically, than what you have now for the most part. You're not going to get much better.
And that said, here's your playoff teams right now that the Texans would be facing. Their first round matchup would be against the Steelers. I like their chances.
I do too.
If they were they're the third seed right now. They play the Steelers. Chiefs would play the Bills. So then you're talking, all right, at that point, if you're the third seed and the Chiefs are the fourth seed, you're probably playing the Ravens.
Rematch, there you go.
Or you're going to play the Patriots. So, you know, it's going to probably be one and done again. But I think this is a team as bad as they looked. No, you would beat the Steelers.
Oh, I see, then one and then done. Yeah. Okay.
But I think this is a team that if they played again, if they have a healthy Will Fuller, if it, you know, their full complement of players that they you know could get back, barring J.J. Watt. I think this, as bad as they played against the Baltimore Ravens, they can still beat that team. They match up with that team better than what it looks. Sometimes you just lay an egg. Sometimes you just play a really bad game, and that's what happened. Now, they got dominated on every facet of the game, but I think they're a better football team than what they look like in that game. And if they play the Patriots in the playoffs,
but it still doesn't explain the fan base. It doesn't explain
no.
a big win against a divisional opponent that basically wins you the division and gets you the leg up, and people aren't positive.
Right. And when we started the season, you and I both said 6-10.
Yep.
They're sitting right now at, 7-4?
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to win 10 games. They might win 11 and go 11-5. They could, theoretically, I mean, it's not crazy to say that this team could beat Baltimore in the playoffs. That is not absurd. I think it's crazy to say they beat the Patriots, but it's not absurd to say that they couldn't beat the Ravens in the playoffs.
Well, I don't know. And then you get back into why people feel the way they do.
When they're
you
playing
say
their
that,
best football, you don't think they could beat the Ravens?
When they're playing their best football, they could. But that's not what people want to hear.
No.
They want to hear, when they're playing their best football, they're hard to beat by anybody. And that's not what they're getting out of this team because they know there's just too many holes. There's too many weaknesses. There's too many shortcomings that pop up at the wrong time, turnovers, et cetera. We talked about it. Every time they have a big game, they turn the ball over and it ends up in points in the first 5 minutes. And then the air comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, but those are the things that you can fix. That it, you know, what surprises me is how well, like, the secondary held up.
It did.
You know what I mean? Like, Conley had a good game.
Yeah,
he looked well.
Even Vernon Hargraves did.
I saw a stat that Conley didn't give up a completed pass or something the whole game.
I'm just impressed you take a guy off the street. I mean, out of someone else's organization, a week into being on the street, you start him, and he held his own.
Here you go. Garen Conley played 31 coverage snaps and did not allow a single reception against Indianapolis. And that includes having T.Y. Hilton on the field. Now, granted, he wasn't 100%, I don't believe. But that's still pretty damn impressive when you consider that the secondary was their weakness and is their weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You got Will Fuller back. That makes this offense
Will
a lot
Fuller
better.
Will Fuller makes a monster difference.
Crazy, right?
Yes.
You hate him because he's always hurt. But you love him because when he's on the field, he makes this offense completely different.
No doubt about it. And it forces the defense
if you can get decent coverage out of these guys that they went out and got for the secondary, and Deshaun Watson can protect the football. This team can play with a lot
those
of teams
big
in the NFL.
Because the other thing is, can he just focus on winning the game instead of winning the MVP? Because I think as much as everybody downplayed it over on Kirby, he was so focused on trying to, and we talked about it leading up to the game. You don't want it to be where Deshaun tries to one-up everything that Jackson does.
Right.
And I think to some degree, that's why he hung on to the ball so long. He's got to change his mentality there. That's another way he's got to mature. But we can continue to talk about that. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that and let you know what people were thinking while you were out. But plenty more to get to as we just get the show started, first half hour out of the way. So again, join us, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter before we go to the break.
Yeah, hey guys, if you want to start, you know, maybe you think I'm wrong, maybe you think I'm right, maybe you want to put some money on the Texans to win or lose, you should do that with MyBookie. That is the online place to get action on any game out there, and it's easy to sign up. You just go to mybookie.ag and sign up, and they've got everything you could want when it comes to wagering on sports. They've got odds on every single game out there. They've got more prop bets than any other sports book in the market, and absolutely nobody pays you out faster. You get your cash when you want it. And did you know you don't have to bet before kickoff? You can get in-game live action at mybookie.ag. It's so simple. You could take those, you know, like I said, they've got teasers, they've got part, they got whatever you want, soccer, basketball, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're wanting to wager on, you can absolutely do that at MyBookie. Guys, who you bet on is as important as who you bet with. So don't play with a no-name sports book that you're not sure if they're going to pay you or you're going to get your money in a timely fashion. You don't have to worry about those things with MyBookie. So bet smart and bet with MyBookie and go sign up right now and use promo code radio and they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. All you got to do is just type in radio in the promo code box when you sign up to take advantage of that exclusive double your money offer. It's mybookie.ag. Use that promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
Hey, second half of the show starts right now. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride. Wherever you may be, hopefully you're lucky enough that you should be thankful you have the whole week off. If you do, good for you. And that's fantastic. So if not and you're working, hey man, look, what we really appreciate is the fact the suspects are large and in charge. They are alive and well. When I sent out that tweet and tagged you guys from this weekend, more people than not were sending back responses to us going, my day feels weird if it doesn't include the suspects and listen to the show and stuff. So great stuff from you guys, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure. It was nice to see the love.
So before we get into, I guess we just got the Texans part of it out of the way.
Uh-huh.
So I guess we can either talk about the NFL weekend that was, or we can talk about the debacle that happened over the weekend for the Houston Rockets, because I'll let you guys choose. It's kind of slim pickings either way.
Yeah, you go ahead. You're the one chair.
Okay.
You pick.
Nick, you have any preference?
I don't care.
No, I don't. I really don't. Whatever you guys want to do.
I would say we can go to the Rockets first. Let's go to the Rockets first.
I'm so surprised. I'm just messing with you.
No, only because of the fact that I set up the weekend and said, look, I fully anticipate that the Clippers are going to get revenge on the Rockets. I thought they were going to win. I didn't think it was going to be with the Rockets leading by 5 with a minute to play. I didn't think that it was going to be the Rockets' shortcomings that allowed the Clippers back in and a chance to win.
Those being defense?
Oh, my God. Yeah, the defensive breakdowns were awful. We know that their two best players are going to get theirs. We know that Clint Capela has been fantastic. But overall, this team, and I don't know how it's really possible because they've got more guys that fit the mold of what they were looking to do this year. They have guys that are more kind of systematic players in a Mike D'Antoni-based system. But their defense may be worse than when they had Michael Carter Williams and James Ennis and all the square pegs and the round holes. They can't stop anyone.
They can't stop good teams.
Well, okay, I'll give you that.
They can stop bad teams.
But aren't they supposed to be a good team?
Well, so this is what I discovered because I was like, man, they rattle off 8 in a row. Mm-hmm. And then you look at they play the Nuggets, Clippers, and Mavericks back-to-back-to-back games and lose those three. They give up 105, 122, and 137 in those games. Mm-hmm. After playing some decent defense in the 8-game win streak, the Rockets have 2 wins versus teams with a winning record. 2 wins versus teams with
One's
a winning
the Clippers
record.
When they didn't have Paul George.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of the other one. Minnesota?
I didn't even write them down, to be honest with you. Okay. I just did 2 wins against teams with a winning record. And all of their losses, except one, is of their 6 losses, only one team doesn't have a winning record, and that's the Nets at 8-8. So every time they basically play a team, they are 2-6 against teams with a winning record. That tells me a lot. Is this a good team, or is this a team that's fool's gold? And right now,
it sounds fool's gold.
2-6, if that's the best you can do against in your 8 games against the teams that are have a winning record, that's not going to get it done. That lets you know they're going to lose in the playoffs. They're going to get bounced if they don't get it together.
I think it's safe to call them a good team only because I still believe they'll have a pretty decent record by the end of the regular season.
Okay,
Are they good enough to be some of those better teams at this point? I would say no. I would have to agree with you. I don't see them with the way the defensive play has shown against, like you said, good teams. I don't see them capitalizing. I do see them making some adjustments in the regular season that will absolutely keep them in the playoffs and keep them as one of the best 8 teams in the Western Conference. I just don't know.
Well, they're making the playoffs. But I think that the whole goal that Daryl and everybody keeps talking about over there is that this is a championship caliber team. That they have retooled on the fly to make this team better than they were with Chris Paul and have a chance to win a championship. Because that's even in their commercials, their marketing, that's all that their one goal is to win it all. James has even said in his interview with Stephen A. Smith, book it. We're going to win it. Mm. And so you look at the way this team plays and you look at the stats, and you listen to the stats you just rattled off, and you look at the fact that they don't play defense. They're not stopping anybody. And then you say, well, what can they do to get better? And how do they improve? Because I mean, look, I told you guys, and I gave them 2 years, but I thought in 2 years, Dallas would be better than the Rockets, and I did that with Chris Paul on the roster. When you get Russell Westbrook, I'm supposed to start reconsidering if I should have said that. But watching what Dallas did, and it wasn't just like a late run. They punished the Rockets. They scored 70 points in the first half. That's on mm-hmm. your home floor?
Mm-hmm.
Inexcusable. Not supposed to happen. And I know, Nick, I was with you. I bought in 20-game sample size before I passed judgment. But the more I watch this team and then, Barry, I hear the stats you give me, and I'm like, this needs to be addressed now. You're catching a break in that one of the teams a lot of people thought was going to be top 4 in Portland has fallen off the map.
Yeah.
But Denver beat you. Utah's a team that's in that mix. You've got to take a couple steps up before you get to the 2 LA teams.
While you were discussing, the other team that they beat with a winning record is the Pacers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and they're barely 9-6.
Yeah.
So they barely have a winning record. So, yeah, it's not like they're going. The two teams that they did beat were missing Oladipo and Paul George.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I think the key. Obviously, this team can score. They just it all comes down to defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is literally they got beat because PJ Tucker is undersized against Kawhi Leonard, and you give Kawhi Leonard the ball with a chance to win a game, and more often than not, if he's playing a guy like PJ Tucker, he's going to win the game. That's basketball. They were in that game, so that's encouraging. Yeah. But
they were winning that game. They had a 5-point lead with a minute to play.
They weren't in that Mavs game. That Mavs game was ugly, and now the Mavs are hot right now. They're the Doncic and the Mavs are a sexy team right now, and they're going to have their struggles throughout the year. I fully believe that as well.
Doncic is basketball porn right now.
Oh,
Everyone is talking about him every day.
But you've got to get better defensively. I mean, you mentioned in the past Iguodala. You're going to have to do something to get better.
Yeah, and I said there are two guys out there that can really alter the landscape of winning a title this year. One of them you're not getting because that's Chris Paul. And you already had been there, done that. But the other one is Andre Iguodala. And going depending on where he goes, he gives whichever team is a championship caliber team. And he's don't get it twisted. He's only going to a championship caliber team. So wherever he goes, he alters the landscape because of his playoff experience, his defense, his ability to shoot wide open threes when he's open, as opposed to guys like, oh, I don't know, Thabo Sefolosha, guys like that, Ben McLemore, make a shot or two. So he's going to be a big deal, and Daryl's going to have to keep his eye on him. Because the other thing is Daryl's given away it so much that he's kind of getting Bill O'Brien-esque in terms of there's not much more you can give.
Well, I know we got to go to a break here in a second, but let me ask you this, guys, and think about it during the break. There may be the case where you're going to have to trade for a defensive stalwart. Like you might be able to get a guy, on the free agent market, or not free agent market, but the buyout market,
street free agent.
But chances are you might be able to pull off a trade with a team that's out of contention that wants to maybe do something different or whatever. Would you trade a guy like Eric Gordon? Would you sacrifice some offense on this team to get a proven defensive player to put on this team to get a stop?
We'll talk about that after the break. So think about that, and also think about if you have ideas about who might be out there that maybe that's someone that they could trade for, and we'll entertain that as well. And speaking of those Houston Rockets, they got a 3-game homestand this week, so there's lots going on down at the Toyota Center where now is your chance. Maybe you got relatives coming in for the holidays. You don't want them sitting around the house just nagging you and being a pain in the butt. Well, get to a Toyota Center and see some Rockets basketball because they are entertaining. They're going to score points. And the holiday season is the season of giving. So they're giving you a chance to go see the likes of Harden and Westbrook as they take on some of the great teams that you otherwise might miss. Clippers, Celtics, Mavs, more. And with every pack that you buy in a Rockets holiday pack, you get a gift card to the Rockets team shop. So you get some gear, you get some hoop. You get a whole night out of the house. It's fantastic. And speaking of the team shop, the Rockets have released their new NASA-inspired city jerseys. We were talking about how much we like them. You can get one starting November the 27th at the team shop, at the Toyota Center, or at rocketshop.com. If you go to Toyota Center on the 27th, speaking of Eric Gordon, he's going to be signing them from 11 to noon. Rockets tickets, new jerseys, new gear. Perfect holidays for your basketball fan on your holiday list. Check it out this holiday season. Head to rockets.com, get all the details, and purchase your pack right now.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That's right. You heard the man. You have the trio known as Barry, Nick, and Joel, the usual suspects, as we take you through three straight hours of sports and stuff, entertainment and otherwise, as we do what we do to hopefully entertain you throughout your day.
Somebody just texted an awful text about seven different kinds of cheese, making fun of you and the Packers, and it was a terrible text.
Okay.
And I'm not reading it because it wasn't funny.
Okay.
Couldn't you say the same thing similar about the rest of the teams in the NBA earlier in the season? Analyze their records. First of all, no. I'm not going to analyze their records because I don't want to. You don't just get to make demands. Second of all, no, you couldn't because how many games have the Lakers lost? What, two games? No, I'm not analyzing.
Lakers have the best record in basketball. The Clippers basically have a really, really, really good record and have played three quarters of those games without at least one of their two superstars.
Yeah. And the Lakers lost their first game of the season. So I'm not analyzing all that just because you said so. You go analyze it. You do the math. I already did the math for my talking points. The point is about the Rockets, not the rest of the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, and I'll tell you this, and I said it to Raheel. Don't sleep on the fact that for everybody said, oh, the East is a two-team race with Philly and Milwaukee. Boston's damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Better than when they had Kyrie, dare I say. And with Kemba and the fact that because Kemba's more of a team-oriented point guard, they did a split screen the other day of Jason Tatum and Brown's stats side by side. They're identical. If you can clone Jason Tatum and get Jaylen Brown to play like Jason Tatum and Hayward, who broke the opposite hand, not his shooting hand, who was playing great, and you put that deep roster out there, Boston's a damn good team, too. Boston's better than the Rockets the way they play.
Well, the Raptors, I'm impressed. They're only
without
lost
Kyle Lowry.
Crazy.
Without Serge Ibaka. Yeah. Siakam has just become a stud.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of good teams out there. I like the parity in the NBA. I just hate to break it to Rockets fans that right now I'm trying to hold back judgment. But here's the other thing. If you guys want the positives, tell me what they are, because we were cranking them up saying, you know what, they got three-point shooters that they can put all the way around Harden and Westbrook, and they're going to capitalize. They got a whole bunch of three-point shooters that can't make a shot.
Right now they can't.
Right.
All right, so question becomes, I asked you guys before the break, would you trade a guy like Eric Gordon for a proven defensive player?
Yes.
A defensive-minded player?
Yes.
Without hesitation?
How quickly can I say yes?
Yeah.
You know why? Because you're not getting a lack of production. Unlike when Chris Paul was here, you're not getting a lack of offensive production from your two best players.
Right.
But what you need is someone that has more of a multi-skilled set that includes defense, you know, running, guarding the wing, finishing on the break, maybe can give you some versatility because P.J. Tucker, as you mentioned, is constantly being forced to guard the other team's best player. One night it's Kawhi Leonard. The next it's Brooke Lopez, and you're putting him on a seven-footer instead of Clint Capella. I think there's some coaching miscues in there, too, that needs to be dissected as well in the fact that you don't have your Bezdelic defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Much as I love Elston Turner as a person, I don't know what he's doing, but he's not doing anything to make changes on the fly to make this team better defensively. So I would definitely say yes to trading Eric Gordon, assuming that what you get back is as good or better in terms of how it helps the team.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I'm not suggesting that they just get back, you know, they're going to get back. It's specifically to make this a better defensive team because you want to put him in a rotation, right? Like you want somebody that can be in the rotation, and God forbid you'd like to see him on the floor at the same time that James Harden is on the floor. So they, you know, when you bench Westbrook, you could bring this person in and you don't really lose much defensively. Cause I think that's part of the problem is, you know, their guys that their current rotation, there's times when their defense is just bad on the floor.
Yeah, no, it's no doubt. And I tend to think that I would be okay with trading Eric Gordon. Cause look, it could be a situation. He serves a lot of roles. He can shoot the three. He can obviously penetrate to the basket. He can score. But come trade deadline, if you think or if you fail to incorporate Eric Gordon in the offense well enough with both James Harden and Russell Westbrook on the roster, it might be easier to give up on a guy like Eric Gordon for some defense. And you're right. Hopefully you get a player that doesn't just bring defense to the table, has a little bit of offense. But if it's a player that's a really good, like a really big asset on this team, and he has struggled to be incorporated into the offense with Harden and Westbrook on the roster, I think it's a little bit easier and a little bit more tempting to give up on a guy like an Eric Gordon for some defensive presence. But you still got to get it out of your best players. You still got to get it out of James Harden. You still got to get it out of Russell Westbrook. It still needs to be addressed as a team, regardless of who's on the roster.
I think the other thing, too, is that they're still dividing their roles. We talked about how we thought both guys were going to have to adjust in Harden and Westbrook, but only one of them's had to adjust. Russ has been the good soldier, doing whatever they need him to do, kind of stepping back and letting James keep doing what he does. But James, to me, doesn't look like he has made one adjustment or change or sacrifice to help Russell Westbrook. And then for them to come out, it's all fine and dandy for them to come out and tell the media, we don't care about the stats. We just care about the wins. Well, then you should be beating good teams. And like I told you guys off the air when we were kidding around, but I said, look, the minute that James goes to second in the league in scoring, then tell me stats don't matter because he's going to make a push.
If they're winning, you think so?
I still do. I just think that there's a mentality about, and look, that's part of what makes him great offensively because he is the most, it's funny that we talked about last week while you guys were out, the fact that from a national perspective, first, LeBron's getting all the love for MVP. Now Doncic and Giannis are getting the love, and James is fourth. Offensively, there's not a better player in the league than James Harden. And the stats back it up, and there's no way to tell me that anybody should be even close to comparing with him. And especially when you factor in the fact that he gets rebounds and assists. But that just shows you the hatred that the national media and the rest of the nation have for him, his game, and the way it fits this team. I don't care about all that. I just care about the fact that from a local perspective, if you want this team to be at its best, I believe he's got to do less, not more.
You're probably right. Because It's like you can have one elite guy, but if it's to the detriment of the team, what does it really matter at that point?
Be the Warriors. If you really want to be good, be the Warriors and show how guys put their ego in the back seat to win ball games. So far, James hasn't shown me he's made any kind of changes or pulled back or done anything to make room for Russ to be better. And that's why I say trade. We know how frustrated Eric Gordon was when Carmelo Anthony came here. We know that he was frustrated with Chris Paul and the fact that he was still taking a back seat. Now he's doing it with Westbrook. Yeah, he got his contract, but you can pay. You're not going to be happy until you get the numbers and the stats you were getting before you got the contract.
Yeah.
So there's Rockets talk to wrap up hour number one. Still got 2 hours to go on the show. Lots of college football to talk about because a lot of things happen. There's a door wide open right now for that final playoff spot, it looks like, and maybe more. So we'll talk about that. Wrap up the NFL weekend that was. Sorry, Cowboys fans. You also found out sometimes you don't just play the Patriots. You play the officials, too. And lots of other things. If you want to get something off your chest that you've had on your mind, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Second hour comes up next on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.